We're going to continue in our series that we started a couple of weeks ago on who is the Holy Spirit. Have you enjoyed this series? Who is the Holy Spirit? Anybody learn anything? Yeah, many of you are commenting and getting emails and comments from you that many of you are digging and diving into God's Word and hearing things and learning things that you never learned before. And so this is an exciting time. I'm really excited today to share with you. We've been speaking over the last few weeks. We talked about who he was, and we declared that he is a part of the Godhead, and he's a part of the Trinity Godhead. And to say we don't believe in the Holy Spirit would be the same thing to say I don't believe in Jesus. To say I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, to say I don't believe in God. That you either believe in one or you believe in all three. There's no separating the three, as we see in Scripture. They're all intertwined to who they are. And then we talked about, is he a person? If we're going to get up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit, and realize he's called to be my best friend, and I'm called to have a personal relationship, he's to guide me into all truth, he's to empower me and to lead my heart, then I can realize he's a person. And we looked at his thoughts are beyond our thoughts, and he has all knowledge, and he will guide us into all truth. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can rejoice with us. That the Holy Spirit has emotions, and we just declare that the Holy Spirit has personality, has emotions. And so therefore, that we are to realize that he is a person, and we are called to be a friend of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about an interesting subject. We talked about, is he Pentecostal? And we defined that definition, is the Holy Spirit Pentecostal? We defined as in denomination, no. But as in the reference and definition, yes, because the word Pente means five and costal means to the tenth power, which means 50. 50 days after Passover, God said, we want you to celebrate the Pentecost, and they had the Feast of Pentecost, and we looked at the Feast of the Pentecost last week. If you missed that message, I really tell you, go back and get online and listen to that. That was a very important message when you realize the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life, because it set up the Holy Spirit. All the way back in the very beginnings of the Old Testament, when God commanded Moses to go to the mountain, and the cloud appeared upon Mount Sinai, and the law was given. And he declared, hey, I want you to, from 50 days from now on, I want you to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, remembering when I came to you. And it was 50 days that we realized that the feast, 50 days after Passover, when Jesus was killed, that the law was given once again, and Pentecost came to be fulfilled through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And so you need to look at that and see that God had a plan all along for Pentecost, and that this week we're going to talk about this question, does he baptize? Does he baptize? Does the Holy Spirit baptize? Have you ever heard the expression baptism in the Holy Spirit? I've heard expression called baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've heard expressions called baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism by the Holy Spirit. And they're very important as we play on words, even though we may know what we're meaning in our heart, that there actually is different baptisms that are operated by the Holy Spirit and by the Trinity. And so today we're going to look at some of these baptisms and see things. And we know that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to know his power and to know his love and his fruits and his gifts in our life. That's what the Holy Spirit was given to us for. So we should never be afraid. Let me say it again. We should never be afraid of God's gifts. Let me say it again. We should never be afraid of God's gifts for us. That sometimes we were afraid of things because we don't understand them. That's why we're taking our time and we're looking through who the Holy Spirit is, realizing that we're not called to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Or I'd say that's not for today, but we looked and proved it in Scripture last week that the Holy Spirit is for every generation. And we proved that. It wasn't just a one-time thing, but it was a continual thing. People were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we know we have three baptisms. First of all, we have the baptism of the body of Christ. Baptism in the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. Realizing this, that the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility when we're saved. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's the Holy Spirit's job to baptize me into the body of Christ. He baptizes me into Jesus. Okay? He convicts me. He leads me. And he leads me down the road of salvation to realize that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings me to Jesus at the road of salvation. And so we have the baptism. We're baptized into the body of Christ at conversion. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we believe in him, we are converted into the body of Christ. And we're baptized in the body of Christ through one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The second baptism is the baptism in water. Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's talking about water baptism here, that he's wanting us to water baptize. And we know Jesus was water baptized. John the Baptist instituted that and took the water baptism. We know all about that. We're not going to take time to teach on water baptism today, but we know that that is a form of baptism, that we are first brought into the body of Christ through salvation. We're baptized in the body of Christ through salvation. And then there's a water baptism that we're asked to do. Number three, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where we're going to spend most of our time today talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11. Look what it says here. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John talking. But he who is coming, talking about Jesus, after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So when I first am saved, it's the Holy Spirit that baptizes me by one Spirit into the body of Christ. Then after I'm saved, I go through water baptism as a form of saying, God, I'm cutting off the old, starting the new man, I'm burying the old man who I was. But it's what happens? The Holy Spirit, what happens then? Jesus then wants to baptize me fresh and anew in the Holy Spirit. There's a third baptism, and many times we know about the two other baptisms, but we stay away from the third baptism because we don't fully understand it, and we don't fully comprehend it, or we've been taught that maybe it was not for today, or it wasn't for me, or that's just a little weird, so don't go there. And so we are, for whatever reason it may be, we are afraid sometimes of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I say to you that every gift from God is perfect for our lives, and is perfectly given in a timely manner, and that God has designed for us to receive baptism in the body of Christ through salvation. He's designed for us to have water baptism as a sign of identifying. We are a new creation. We're a new creation to him. And he's designed also for a baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is where Jesus then baptizes us into a new anointing of the Holy Spirit in our life. Do you realize how many few things are actually in all four Gospels? Do you realize that? We know that John chronicles the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry. We know that the Gospel of John chronicles the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry. Then we know Matthew, Luke, and Mark chronicle his last year of his ministry. Mainly that's what they concentrate on chronicling. And we know that First John is full of all the miracles of Jesus, many of the miracles that he did. And we know that the parables and teaching can be found in the other three Gospels, they parallel. But you know how many few things are actually in all four Gospels? We can name them. It's about four things that are actually found in all four Gospels. First of all, the birth, the death, and resurrection of Christ. All three of those things are found in all four Gospels. You know what else is found in all four Gospels? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is found in all four Gospels. You think it was important for us to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's something that God wanted us to know because he put it in every one of the Gospels. Look, we can find it real fast. We just read it in Matthew 28. Now let's look at Mark 1:8. Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16. John answers, saying to all, indeed, I baptize you with the water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and of fire. John 1:33. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending. What happened there? We know the Spirit descended upon Jesus after his baptism. After you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Speaking of Jesus, it is Jesus who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. Scripture teaches that on all these scriptures. It was Jesus who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wants to descend and remain upon us. Look what it says. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending. Isn't that interesting? Because we see through Scripture where the Spirit often throughout the Old Testament would move on prophets of men and women of God, that the Spirit of God would descend upon them. Think about Samson, Elijah, and Elisha, that many times that the Spirit of God would move upon them and they would do mighty things for God. But you realize the Spirit of God didn't stay with them continually. It didn't descend upon them to stay upon them all the time. That it moved upon them at times. And we see the Spirit of God descending here and remaining for the first time. We see this happening where the Spirit of God is given and remains through Jesus. This is a part of the New Testament covenant that we have, that the Holy Spirit has come to remain. The new covenant we have, the Holy Spirit wants to remain. When Jesus was baptized in water, it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained. Now let's look at the last words of Christ. Luke 24. The end of Luke and the first part of Acts, we know these were the last statements of Christ. These were the very last things he said to the church before he descended back to heaven when he walked the earth for 40 days after his resurrection. And these were the last words that he said to us. Behold, I send the promise. Now, we looked at week one. The promise is talking about the Holy Spirit. Behold, I send the Holy Spirit of my Father upon you. But look what it says. But tarry, that word tarry translates to the word wait. We know that's where the word wait comes from. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Look at Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Again, he tells them to wait. He didn't tell them to depart Jerusalem, did he? The last thing he said was not to go. Let me make that clear again. The last thing Jesus said was just not to go, but he said to wait. He said to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let's make it clear that Jesus told us to go. Many times we said Jesus' last words were the Great Commission, to go to all the ends of the earth, you know, into Judea and Samaria, Jerusalem. We know all the things that we say, this is what Jesus told us to go. But you realize before he said to go, he said, put the brakes on. That's what he'd be saying. Hey, put the brakes on. I know I'm telling you to go. You're getting ready to leave this place. You guys are going to disciple. You're going to spread the word of God around the globe. It's going to go to every nation. You guys are going to spread it. But before you go, time out. Wait. He said, tarry and wait. And what did he tell them to do? He said, you wait until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then you go. Why is that important? Because if they go without the power of the Holy Spirit, he knows nothing is going to be accomplished. To go without the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew that his will would not be accomplished. And so he said, go and wait for the Holy Spirit. And then after you receive the Holy Spirit, and then go. And then you're released to go. And so how many of us, we go through life every day thinking, man, this power, this Christian thing is awesome, but man, I just don't have the power that I need to live the walk, or to walk the walk, or to live the life. I wonder how many times we go without the power. How many times do we leave without the power? How many times do we leave without the power of the Holy Spirit? How many times do we leave saying, God, I've got to have your power anointing me today. God, I've got to have your Holy Spirit operating in my life. God, I'm going to wait until you fill me fresh and anew before I go. We try to go and do things on our own. We'll see not near the effort when we say, God, I'm going to go in your power. God, I'm going to go through the power of your Holy Spirit in my life. He said, wait until you receive the power, and then we are released to go. So we know that we need to be saved. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus, the body of Christ. And then we need to be water baptized. And then after we are water baptized, we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus takes us and he baptizes us back in the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to be saved. How many of you think that's true? Yeah? That's a very important. Can we all agree it's important for us to be saved? Is it important for us to be water baptized? Yes, we know that water baptism is a form of what? It's saying, God, that all old things are passed away and all things are made new. Scripture teaches that when we are a new creation, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, man, that we are a new creation. Our old man is gone and we accept a new person who we are. And so water baptism is a symbolic form of being baptized, saying, God, I'm washed away of my sins, and I'm burying my old man, and I'm coming up a new man in Christ. I'm coming up a new woman in Christ. And so we know water baptism is a form of doing that. But the question is, do we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes, we do. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives us. It's a form of baptism. The question is this, can you go to heaven without being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. Can you go to heaven without being baptized, water baptized? Yes, you can, because we see examples in Scripture where the thief was even on the cross, and he cried out to Jesus on the cross, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so we know that it is possible to go to heaven without these things, but how many know it's not possible to do God's will in your life without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? And that if I'm walking without being water baptized, I'm walking in spiritual disobedience because God has commanded me to be water baptized. It's a very act that he said Jesus even himself was water baptized, and Jesus himself was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit descended upon him. And so how many of us know that if Jesus needs it, how many know that I need it? If it was good for Jesus, surely I need it. If one person didn't need it, that was Jesus. If one person didn't need to be baptized, that was Jesus. If there's one person didn't need the Spirit to descend upon him, that would have been Jesus. But how many know that even Jesus was baptized, and even Jesus had the Spirit to descend upon him? And these are things that we need, and if we are not walking in all three of these baptisms, we're walking short of what God has for us. And I just tell you the truth, I want every gift that God has for me. How many of us at Christmas time, do we go there and we leave all of our gifts underneath the tree and say, well, I think I'll take one or two of these gifts, but the rest of my gifts, I think I'll save them for 3 years from now. I'll open them up in about three more Christmases. We don't do that, do we? We're like, give me every gift. I mean, as we get older, we get a little more discreet about it. But remember when you was a kid, you're like, give me every gift I can. Get those gifts, man. We love that. We don't leave any gift behind. You know what I'm talking about. When you're kids, you don't open up your gifts. You want to open up everybody's gifts. Oh, I didn't know that was yours. But I was shaking it, and it sounded like something I really wanted. And so, we want every gift we can get. That's the way we're made. So why would we leave out any gift that God has for us? Every gift from God is perfect for you and I. God has got this gift of his Holy Spirit that we neglect many times in our life. Let's keep looking at this. Look what Acts 2:37-39 says. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is a response to when the Holy Spirit set upon the day of Pentecost, set upon the upper room, and they began to speak in other tongues, and the Holy Spirit came and set upon them like tongues of fire. So now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do next, okay? They're like, what do we do next? What's going on? And Peter said to them, repent. Peter gives us a formula right here. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off. We talked about that was me. I was afar off. How many can relate to that? Were you far off from God many times in your life? He said, even those who are far off from me, even those who are way down the line of generations, the Holy Spirit is a gift to them. And so we are called to repent. We're called to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and we're called to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the three things that we're called to do. It's very clear in Scripture. How can we ignore that? How can we not see that? It's very clear. How can we say, this is not for me today? It's very clear in Scripture. I'm to repent, I'm to be baptized in Jesus' name, and I'm called to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look what Acts 8:14-17 says. Now, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that in Samaria, they received the word of God. Revival is breaking out in Samaria. People are getting saved. Man, they're getting baptized. Look what happens. And then they sent Peter and John to go to them. Hey, man, go down to Samaria. See what's going on. We hear a revival's breaking out. Look what happens when Peter and John get to them. It says, and Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. As for yet, he had fallen upon none of them. Look what happens. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So when Peter and John get there in Samaria, they find out these people are being baptized in Jesus' name, but yet they had not received the Holy Spirit. So they laid hands on them, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. This wasn't the upper room experience. This was later on down the road. This is many days later. This is a long time later. This is happening. It didn't just happen on one day. It happened again. Look in Acts 19, a different time. In Acts 19, verses 1-6, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, do you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It came upon them and said, hey, man, I heard you guys are being saved. What's going on? Did you receive the Holy Spirit yet when you believed? Look what they said. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. How many of you today can relate to that scripture? Maybe you grew up in a church that didn't teach on the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit for me. That's what they said. Hey, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. He says, you don't know there's the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. And then he said to him, and then what were you baptized in? Can you see his complexion on his face? So what were you baptized in if you don't know there's the Holy Spirit? And so they said to him, into John's baptism. At that time, they knew John was the one baptizing. They had it all confused. They thought, you know, John was the one who was baptizing. Look at the next verse. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. And so he's teaching them, it's not John's baptism, it's Jesus' baptism. And so when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And after they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. So we see a baptism of water, baptism of salvation to the body of Christ, and then Paul says, also, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pattern is not happening just in Acts chapter 2, not just in Acts chapter 8, but now we still see the same pattern happening in Acts chapter 19. These are different regions, different places. The same principles being followed. 1 John 5, 7, and 8. Look what it says here. For these are the three that bear witness in heaven. These three bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word. Who is the Word? He said the Word became flesh and walked among us and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. So the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. These three bear witness in heaven. Look what it says. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, talking about water baptism, and the blood, talking about the salvation, that Jesus shed his blood on the cross. It's just three things that give us witness here on earth. That when we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, the salvation, and then we are water baptized, we identifying with Jesus Christ through water baptism, and then through the Spirit of God being alive in our heart, being baptized through the Holy Spirit. How can we not see this? How can we ignore this and say, this is not for me, this is not for the day? Oh, through the Scripture, the pattern was given that we're called to be baptized into the body of Christ, we're called to be baptized in water, and we're called to be baptized in the Spirit. And these three things will give witness, a bearing witness of who? Of God on earth. I want to be the witness that God has called me to be. I need to walk in all three baptisms. I need to walk in all three of these baptisms. When I was saved, I became a new creation. All things became new. When I was water baptized, the old man was buried. And when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I received power to walk in the new. So at salvation, I became a new creation. He says, all things, old things are passed away, all things become new. At water baptism, I'm burying off the old man symbolically and saying, God, I'm rising up a new man in creation in you. And then I have the power through baptism in the Holy Spirit to receive the power to walk in this new body, to walk in this new spirit. It's a power I receive to do things differently. So the question is, how many baptisms do you walk in? How many baptisms do we walk in? Is it for today? Is salvation for today? May I say again, is salvation for today? Is water baptism for today? Is the Holy Spirit baptism for today? Yes, it is. We can't ignore one, ignore the other two. We can't acknowledge two and just ignore one. It's all three. They're all three for my life today. They're for every one of us today. God had a plan. We know the Old Testament continues to mirror what God wanted to do. We saw through the Feast of Pentecost back in Exodus when God told them to start the Feast of Pentecost. It mirrored what was to come on the day of Pentecost, from the Passover to the Pentecost. We saw that fulfilled. We saw it happening. Even in Abraham's life, we see a pattern in this. God called out Abraham. He said, Abraham, come out among you. Separate yourself from your family. Those guys are heathens, man. I'm calling you out. How many know that salvation, God calls us out, doesn't he? God calls us out of salvation. It was a form of salvation for Abraham. He was calling Abraham out. Like, Abraham, leave. Come out among them. And he called Abraham to him. And we see where God told Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And he told him to prepare the offering of the covenant. And he split the sacrifices. You know how they used to do that? When they made a covenant with a man, what they do is they split the sacrifice. They would take the lamb and the things that they were sacrificing, the calf, and they would split their bodies in half, and they would spread them apart. And what would happen was two people would be on both sides of each other. And they would walk through the sacrifice, and then they would walk around the sacrifice on the other side, and they would meet back in the middle. And that would symbolize a covenant being made. And God told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to make you a covenant. I'm going to make a covenant with you. Prepare the sacrifice. And Abraham is getting excited. He's preparing this covenant, thinking, man, God's going to show up right here. God's going to show up right here. And he's going to make a covenant with me right here. And Abraham prepares the sacrifice, waiting for God to show up. And this is the God that said, Abraham, go to sleep. He put Abraham in a deep sleep. And it says that God showed up himself in the form of a hot oven and smoke. What happened? It's a torch of fire. God the Father and God the Son walked through that covenant together, and they came back together. And when Abraham had awoke, he believed, and God revealed to him what had happened. And Abraham believed in the covenant that God made with his son. And Abraham got in on God's blessing. Woo! I want you to hear this because this is deep, and this is really great. Think about it. Because Abraham believed, he got in on the covenant that God the Father and God the Son made. 2,000 years later, the Father and the Son made another covenant on the cross. And even though I wasn't there, if I believe in that covenant, I get in on the covenant. If you believe in that covenant, you get on the covenant. The covenant that he made that we can walk away, that we shouldn't have to perish. We can live with him forever. We can have the power of his Holy Spirit revealed in our life. He said, after that time, that God had passed through. And passing through was a symbolic of water baptism that day. What did the children of Israel do? They walked through, they passed through. The Red Sea is a part of the waters. They passed through the waters. It was symbolic. And as Abraham passed through, what happened? It was symbolic of water baptism. After that, he woke him up and said, hey, Abraham. Actually, his name was Abram at the time. He said, Abram. He goes, I'm going to give you another letter. It's H. No longer are you called Abraham. I'm going to give you the H. You already have A. I'm going to give you another H and another A. Now your name's called Abraham. H is the Hebrew word for, I'll make sure I'm saying this right. H is the Hebrew word for where we get the word ruah. So why is that important? Because the word ruah is where we get the word for breath of the Holy Spirit. It says, Abram, no longer are you called Abraham. I'm no longer called Abram. I'm going to call you Abraham. I'm going to give you an H. I'm going to give you a to your name. He said, oh, yeah, and your wife, her name is Sarai. I want you to drop the I and put on the H on the end. I'm giving her a as well. Now she's called Sarah. Boy, do you see the symbolic that God was breathing his Holy Spirit on them right then. God was breathing his Holy Spirit on them. How can we not see this in Scripture? Throughout the whole Old and New Testament, God was setting up Pentecost. He was setting up this Holy Spirit. He was setting up the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life. Look what 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2 says. We're getting ready to close. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2, and verse 6. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud. They passed through the sea, and they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Look what verse 6 says. Now these things became our examples. He said these things are our examples. That our forefathers, this is what they did. As they walked under the cloud. What's the cloud represent? The cloud was like what? A pillar, a fire by night, and a cloud by day. To lead the children of Israel. We know the cloud and fire are a representation of the Holy Spirit. He says they were under the Holy Spirit. They passed through the sea. What's passing in the sea? It's a symbolic process of water baptism. They were walked through the sea, and they were baptized into Moses. What was Moses symbolic of? At the time, Jesus had not came. Moses was sent to be their what? Their deliverer. He was called the deliverer. God appointed Moses to become the deliverer, to set them free of the slavery, the bondage they had been in. How can we not see this? Look at what it says. These things became our example, that we're to walk under the cloud of the Holy Spirit. We're to pass through the sea of water baptism, and we're to walk in the baptism of Jesus. Very clear. These things, and even in the Old Testament, were set up for our example, for us to learn from. You know, when Moses set up his tabernacle, when he set up his tabernacle, we know that they had to do three things when they came in. First of all, we know that when they came in, they had to stop at the altar, and they had to make sure the shedding of the lamb's blood was done. That becomes what? Salvation. We know that's symbolic for salvation. The Lamb of Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain. They had to slain right there. And the next place they had to go was called the basin place where they had the water, and they would have to ceremonially wash themselves, make sure they're clean of water. What's that symbolic of? Water baptism. And then when they would leave that, we know the priests were anointed with oil. What's oil? Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And then they had to do all these things. If they were not done right, they were not allowed into the holies of holies, the presence of God. And see, think about that. But isn't that cool that even God was setting it up even then, that we need to walk in through Jesus Christ? We walk through the door and we fall at the altar of Jesus Christ. We wash ourselves in water baptism, and we anoint ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. This is what I'm afraid of, that we today as Christians, that many people in the church today, we walk in and we fall at the altar of salvation. We know that the blood was shed for our sins, and we walk to the water cleansing, and we are water baptized. When we get to the station where we need to be anointed with oil, what happens? We walk around that one a little bit. I don't like that one. That one just kind of scares me just a little bit. I don't understand it fully. I've seen some crazy things before or something. I just don't want anything to do with that. And so we'll walk around that one. And then we go and try to get into the presence of God the way we know we should. And we're not going to experience it to the fullness because we haven't gone through everything that God's asked us to do. There's three baptisms that we need. Baptism into the body of Christ, baptism of water, and baptism through Jesus of the Holy Spirit. Today, how many baptisms are you walking in? As we close out today, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I've got a couple more messages left on this series. And at the end of the series, I'm going to take time to just lay hands on all those who want to receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a chance for that. Anybody who hears the pastor, I just want a fresh. You know, in 1991, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and my life never was the same. It changed me. It changed the way I thought. It changed this guy who was quick to ready to fight you at the drop of a hat. Buddy, you looked at me wrong. I was ready. God began to change me. Person who had some very selfish desires in my life. My desires began to change. And God, I want more of who you are in my life. God, I want to please you. God, I want to become to know you more. My whole life changed. My whole purpose changed. Everything I was changed. My life changed. I know what it is to try to be a Christian without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you I don't like it. I was not very good at it. But I got a lot better when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I got a new power. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, no. I still have things I have to yield to the Holy Spirit in my life and give to His power. But it changes me. It's a free gift of God that I have. And so my heart's desire, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you begin to start that process in your life right now. Of saying, Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me. I want you to descend upon me and stay. God, I want your Holy Spirit to fall on my life, to stay fresh and anew. If it happened one time in your life, that's great. But you know, God wants to do it more than one time. He wants you to have freshness, that they were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw that, but they were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm praying that in this series that God falls fresh and anew in my life. That His Holy Spirit falls fresh and anew in my life, and I receive a fresh baptism in God's Holy Spirit. I'm wanting that fresh in my life. Today, if you say, Pastor, I just want to receive all that God has for me in His Holy Spirit. I want to receive all the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can you just raise your hands up to heaven? Like I said, God, I want all you have for me. Can we do that? Father, today, Lord, we lift our hands up to you. Saying we want to receive all that you are for us. We want to receive every gift that you have. God, I pray today that God, even that many of us here, we know about the Holy Spirit and we know its operation in our life, but for some reason, we've neglected it. Or maybe other people that are here, they've never heard about the Holy Spirit. As some did in the New Testament, we saw this earlier. They said, what is this Holy Spirit? And they're hearing for the first time that God has the Holy Spirit to empower them to fill their life. God, I pray whatever stage we're in, that God, that today there would be a hunger for your Holy Spirit in our life. There would be a hunger for a fresh anointing, a fresh power, that your Holy Spirit would descend upon our life today, God. That God, even now, that Lord, we're going to cry out to you, God, praying that God, your Holy Spirit would come into our heart and into our life, filling us fresh and anew, that our heart would be open. That our mind would be open, that our spirit would be open, God, to receiving all of your Holy Spirit, God. God, that's what I want for my life. I'm praying that you, God, you come, Lord, fill me fresh and anew. God, in my life, may your Holy Spirit come, fill me fresh and anew. God, may our children know, Lord, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, may our generation know that, God, you have a baptism of your Holy Spirit. And it is for today. And it's not a denominational thing. It's a God thing. It's the Holy Spirit thing. And God, we don't want to neglect any gift. Leave any gift you left unopened under the tree. But God, we want to open up every gift that's perfect, sent from you. And God, we open up our heart now to receive, Lord. We say, come, Holy Spirit, fill our heart fresh and anew. Fresh and anew. As we walk in your Spirit. We say together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I say, God bless you today. I pray that you are getting up every morning and saying, good morning, Holy Spirit. Allow that relationship to build. Allow that hunger to cultivate in your life. In a couple weeks, I'm going to give everyone here who wants a chance to be prayed for. We're going to lay hands on you and pray to God just receive fresh and anew the Holy Spirit. So I pray that your heart's beginning to get open that even now, all those who want that fresh and anew in your life. We say, God bless you. You have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. We'll be having the marriage class and the Bible study going on here and everything for the whole family and children. Come, let's continue to fellowship together. Amen.